Good morning from Fast Company. Here's our daily look into what's driving today's creative business leaders.
This podcast is sponsored by Ramp. Are you the decision maker in your company? Consider this. For the first time in decades, there's a better option for a corporate card and spend management platform. Meet Ramp, the only corporate card and spend management system designed to help you spend less money so you can make more. Most corporate credit cards offer points as incentives, but those points amount to less than they're worth in real cash value. Ramp's business cards offer you cash back, real money in your pocket. Plus, you control who spends what with each vendor. And Ramp software collects and verifies receipts automatically, which means you'll stop wasteful spending and close your books in hours instead of days. Businesses that use Ramp add up to 5% to their bottom line the first year. If you're a decision maker, adding Ramp could be one of the best decisions you've ever made. And now get $250 when you join Ramp for free. Just go to ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy.
Cards issued by Sutton Bank and Celtic Bank, members of FDIC. Terms and conditions apply.
Want to learn how you can make smarter decisions with your money? Well, I've got the podcast for you. I'm Sean Piles, and I host NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Our show features our team of nerds, personal finance experts in credit cards, banking, investing, and more. And they'll help you make the most of your money while cutting through the clutter and misinformation in today's world of personal finance. You'll get clarity on strategies to help you build your wealth, invest wisely, shop for financial products, and plan for major life events. Listen to NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Last year was supposed to be the year that workers returned to the office. According to a new report from hybrid work software company Scoop, at the beginning of 2023, 49% of U.S. companies required employees to work in person full-time. But by the end of 2023, that share fell to just 38%. Today, 65% of companies offer some workers flexibility in where they spend their working hours. Since the pandemic began, employers and employees have fiercely debated the benefits and detriments of remote work. The conversation is quite polarized, says Rob Sato, CEO and co-founder of Scoop. On the one hand, you have some CEOs who believe that companies are only serious if they're full-time in office, and you have other folks on the opposite side of the spectrum who push really hard for fully remote work and who question why we have offices to begin with. Proponents of remote work, disproportionately workers, argue that flexibility empowers employees to balance productive professional and personal lives. Meanwhile, proponents of full-time in-person work, disproportionately senior executives, hinge their argument on two claims: that an organization's culture is more productive and collaborative when workers physically share the same office, and that workers' career opportunities improve when people are able to network in person 5 days a week. Now, as the proverbial dust from the pandemic settles and researchers are able to collect significant data on the impact of newer workplace styles, Sato argues that we are collectively moving toward a new normal in which most companies offer a structured hybrid work schedule. The hypothesis that working in person leads to a better workplace culture has been the cornerstone of many decision makers' choice to force workers to return to the office. However, Scoop's new report suggests this claim may be unfounded. For the report, Scoop analyzed data from its Flex Index, which includes information from over 8,000 companies that collectively employ over 100 million employees across 60,000 offices in the United States and abroad. Boston Consulting Group helped Scoop analyze 450,000 Glassdoor ratings across 554 public companies on Scoop's Flex Index. What they found was that people who worked in an office full-time reported the lowest levels of work-life balance and rated their organization's culture and values the lowest when compared to people who worked completely remote or with a structured hybrid schedule. Meanwhile, workers who had flexibility over where they worked reported the highest levels of work-life balance and rated their organization's workplace culture and values the highest. The clear loser here on culture from a score perspective was full-time in office, says Sato. Debbie Lovitch, managing director and senior partner at Boston Consulting Group, adds that hybrid workers reported the highest levels of enjoyment and effectiveness at work. Another common argument for working from an office full-time is that it allows workers the opportunity to network with peers, which in turn could lead to growth opportunities. Many call this phenomenon proximity bias. But when Scoop and BCG researched how remote work impacted career development, they found that working remotely did not negatively impact workers. In fact, those who worked full-time in an office reported the lowest levels of career opportunities, and hybrid workers reported the highest. A lot of people still believe, myself included, that when it comes to relationship development, there's an element to being in person that just is stronger in that regard, says Sato. But at the same time, you don't need to be together 5 days a week for that to happen. Given data such as this, Lovitch, who leads BCG's Future of Work research, suggests that there may be other reasons why so many leaders have pushed workers to return to the office full-time. There is an interesting connection between when financial performance drops and when CEOs demand people come into the office, she says, suggesting instead of addressing underlying issues, many senior leaders choose to force workers to return to old work styles they are more accustomed to. It's like hazing. In times of stress, we go back to the things that make us comfortable or made us successful in the first place, says Sato. He adds, but the next crop of senior executives that grow up over the next 5, 10, 15 years will have had a wholly different experience.
That's all today from Fast Company. Talk to you tomorrow.
Spoken Layer.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.